The following is a message from Pastor Kelly Hewitt and Live It, a ministry of St. Marcus. For more information or for message notes, go to www.liveitmke.org.
A little over a week ago, I had the unique opportunity of assisting a couple of people who are currently on the ground in Matero, Africa, outside in Zambia, outside Lusaka. It was one of the most unique experiences I've had because it's cheaper to fly over with things than it is to ship them. And so we have a team of 7 or 8 who are currently on the ground in Matero. And so what they were doing was they were taking all of these supplies that people had donated, from books to Bibles to soccer balls to basketballs and even the pumps for the kids to use so they could play soccer and basketball over there. And it was fascinating because as we're going through the series of baggage and we're talking about, you know, all the different things we carry, I had a very visual reminder as we were searching this building to find stuff to pack in their baggage. This is a large facility, over 100,000 square feet are here at St. Marcus, and somebody had put the stuff that they were supposed to take with them in a closet. There are over 30 closets that are not in classrooms around this building. And so we went around looking in all these rooms to find the stuff. And then as they left, each person took their huge, heavy bag that could go up to 50 pounds to the weigh station, because we have one of those nice scales, that old-fashioned scale from the doctor's office, where you have to slide the little metal bar across the top. Yeah, it's kind of fun watching someone who's never seen one of those try to figure out how to use it. And so we weighed them. And then we had the conversation about how these two young ladies were going to carry these two 50-pound bags in addition to their carry-on luggage as they traipsed through London, South Africa, and other places. And I asked them the question. I said, are you just checking these at the airport? And they're like, no, I think we have to get them at least to the hotel, I think. So I'm like, you're going to haul over 100 pounds of baggage around London. Oh, we're not sure yet. And it was one of those great pictures for this series we're talking about because they were purposely taking it for a reason, and they knew they had to carry it along with them, even though they knew it was going to be a heavy weight. And it's one of those fascinating pictures that, sadly, we like to carry baggage. We like it. We like to think our baggage gives us honor stripes. We like to think it has a reason. We like to think we're better because of it. When in all reality, what is baggage? The definition we've been using is baggage is the lies that Satan tells us to snatch us from Jesus. Baggage is the lies that Satan tells us to snatch us from Jesus. These are the things we've been talking about for over the last couple weeks. We kind of hold on to them. Satan starts to whisper them in our ear, and we like to kind of get rid of them for a little while, but we kind of liked having them around, and so we like to carry them. Some of the ones that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks is the lie that Satan likes to whisper in our ear, that we're worthless, that we don't quite fit in with the world, we don't quite matter, that we're struggling with different things, that there's no point to our lives. We are just worthless beings. Nobody would miss us if we were missing. We talked about how God made us his child. You get to the next week where we talked about feeling powerless, where everything is out of control. And when life is out of control, anxiety builds. And we talked about having a prayer life and a life where we're in the Word and how God says, guess what? I'm going to take care of this, when we talked through Philippians. And last night, Satan's favorite lie that he uses the other lies to get you through is that lie of you're all alone and nobody really cares. And that by getting you all alone, he can hunt you as a lion does and isolate you and get you all alone, and then he'll attack and he'll pull you away and he'll get you into that downward spiral. And we talked about how he says, you're not alone, how I'm never going to leave you, how I'm never going to forsake you. And I said, we're going to come back to that thought, and we're going to come back to that thought today as we dig into what is rejection. Because here's the picture that Satan likes to put in place for us. Rejection and abandonment lead us to live in fear. So I have a very personal question for you. How many of you have ever been rejected? Okay. Now, this is a point where this is 100% participation time. Because I guarantee you, somebody has seen your phone call or not returned your email. They rejected you temporarily. So how many of you have felt, how many of you have been rejected? All right, now we all raise our hands. So here's the trick question. How many of you have rejected or abandoned somebody else? And if you don't raise your hand, have you ever not returned a phone call immediately or seen, oh, so-and-so's calling. I'm busy. You're sitting there watching TV. I'm busy. I'm in a meeting. I'm in a meeting called backyard. I just don't want to talk to that person. And in the process, we don't really realize that we think, it's just part of life. We'll get back to them when it's our time. But in the process, we've really rejected or abandoned that person because they were really trying to reach out to us. I'm not trying to fill you full of guilt, but this is a part of the things that lead up to somebody having this perspective that their life is full of fear. Fear that no one really cares and is going to be around when they're needed. So this is, if you want to put a little parentheses or bracket underneath this, it's that picture that you won't be there when I need you. That's the definition we're using for rejected and abandoned. This feeling that you won't be there when I need you. And this is where Satan likes to whisper. This is where Satan loves to whisper that picture of fear. That picture that says, guess what? I'm going to give you a really big word now. A really, really big word. You ready for it? Anthropomorphize. It's not going up on the screen because I couldn't figure out how to spell it clearly enough. Anthropomorphize. Anthropomorphism is applying to God feelings of human characteristics. And so because we have this fear of rejection, because guess what? I enter into a relationship with someone and I carry with me all of this baggage from my past relationships. So guess what? If you're a great gal and the guy cheated on you, no matter which relationship you ever enter into in the future, you carry with you this picture and Satan whispers in your ear constantly, this guy is just like the last one. He's a horrible guy. He's going to cheat. No matter how godly and trustworthy the guy may be, Satan whispers that in your ear. If you're somebody who grew up in a household that was divided or you didn't have a parent around, guess what? Satan likes to whisper, guess what? Fathers just abandon their children. That's just what they do. And so you always have this fear of abandonment. This fear of abandonment and rejection crosses over into the workplace. It's not just a home life or a social issue. It's that picture of how many of you ever applied for a job and not gotten it? Okay? So those of you who haven't raised your hands, you need to apply for more jobs. This is just part of the process, right? It's like you can send out 50 applications and you might get a callback on 2. It's a horrible feeling. And then when you get into a job, guess what? You have that fear that the last employer, guess what? Your manager, they stole your idea, took your credit, and then all of a sudden, from that point forward, you will never trust managers because you feel rejected and abandoned. And so if you go back to that previous slide, and this is where rejection and abandonment leads us to live in fear. And this is Satan's favorite thing for us because if he can get you afraid, if he can get you to anthropomorphize, if all of these things are going on, if all of these people have rejected you, when all of a sudden life seems to be really down, his favorite whisper into your ear is God has rejected you too. Because guess what? If God really cared about you, he wouldn't have allowed that guy to cheat. If God really, really cared about you, your 19-year-old friend wouldn't have cancer. I got a Facebook post this week from a classmate of mine from Oconomowoc. 2 city civic leaders have had sons die that are 18 years old or 19 years old of unexplained things in the last 2 weeks. The one young man who died while running on the lakefront thing, some of you may have seen that. He was running, was that the Souls one, the Rock and Soul run. He told his dad, Dad, I'm dying. And his dad thought he was just like all the rest of us who are in the last leg and you're really just dragging because, you know, you're out of shape. But he literally died moments later. And then another guy, the owner of Culver's, who's very generous and very giving back in the community of Oconomowoc, his 18-year-old son just dropped dead. They still haven't figured out what happened. They think it's a heart disease that they didn't know about. And so all of a sudden you have all these people going, Satan starts using that and saying, well, if God really loved people,
If God really loved you, he wouldn't allow these things to happen. And some of you have those things going on in your lives right now that are so full of things that are happening that Satan's just using this whisper. He says, and if all this is happening, God must not be with you either. Because guess what? So-and-so has rejected you. So-and-so has abandoned you. You've seen how this has happened. You've seen how this has happened. This is all proof God doesn't exist and that God doesn't care. When in reality, God says, I am there. And these are the effects of sin. And so we're going to take a little look today at a section from Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 31. In this section, if there's a time when people are going to question whether God's around, whether God's abandoned you, typically it tends to be around times of great transition in your life. And so the children of Israel at this point, Moses has been told, Moses, by the way, you are going to die very soon. Go pass on some things to Joshua, we are at the promised land. I have promised you, you are not going to enter the promised land. You're going to have to hand this off. So this is Moses giving a pep talk to Joshua, a time where, if you remember, Moses has been leading for the last 40 years. He led them through the plagues in Egypt. He led them to crossing the Red Sea. They wandered the desert for 40 years with him. He struck rock and water poured out. God said, hey, I'm going to give you food called manna, where guess what? You open the door and there's your food every morning. No more shopping, no more gathering, no more anything else. You just walk out the door, scoop it up in a thing for the day, and you're good to go. And now they're about to enter the promised land, and these are the words that God says through Moses to Joshua. Joshua is the only one who had survived. All of the others had died. And so he's now saying, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all Israel, because this is a time when people are going to be saying, hey, I wonder if God's going to be with us. I wonder if God really exists. I wonder if God really cares about us, because why would God allow Moses to die? He's led us for 40 years. And oh, by the way, Moses is the one guy who didn't die when he got to meet with God face to face. God's chosen guy. Time of fear. And so this is what he says. Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give to them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So we're going to fill in those first two blanks. Be strong and courageous. If you want to fill in and give a little bit of picture there, I should ask the Hebrew prof to give it to us, but this is be strong and be made very, very strong. It's the picture it says in Hebrew. Be strong and be very, very, very strong. We translate that as be courageous. Be of no, absolutely no fear. Be courageous in entering. This is a term that is predominantly used in military terms. Don't lose heart in going into battle. Don't lose heart that this something's going to happen. You are going to face something and you need to have both physical strength and moral and virtual strength and virtuous strength. Strengthen your character, strengthen your physical. And he says, this is who you are. You need to be strong and courageous. Why? The Lord will, go ahead, not leave or forsake you. The Lord will not leave nor abandon you. He's using military terms here. This is the picture, this is the picture of a general saying, hey, you guys go to battle, but I'm going to go check out and you guys just make sure. He's saying, no, God's saying you, I will never leave you. And I will never abandon you. And this is that picture Brian mentioned to us a few moments ago, where when we start hearing Satan's whisper of, oh, God's not here, God says, guess what? I punished my son. I abandoned my son on the cross so that I will never abandon you. No matter what sin you commit, it is not going to separate me from from loving you, because I've already punished my son in your place. He says, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. And these are hard words, because when we're feeling rejected, when we're feeling abandoned, Satan likes to say, yeah, he didn't really mean that. Doesn't he? If you've ever been there, you know how it feels. It's like when somebody has made you mad and then they turn around and say, oh, I love you anyways. You're sitting there going, no, you don't. And this is where God says, yes, I do love you. Yes, I do care for you. Yes, I will never abandon you. You need to hear these words of mine. I will never abandon you. I will never forsake you. And if Joshua was struggling with that message, a few chapters later, after Moses has died, God pulls Joshua aside and he speaks to Joshua. Joshua, in case you were confused and you didn't hear it from Moses because you thought, well, that was Moses dying and he was just trying to make me feel good. Now, Joshua, I'm going to physically tell you, this is God speaking directly to Joshua. And he says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So here's what he says. For those of you who are struggling, he says, here's where we start. Same place he tells us to always start. Be in the Word. He's telling Joshua, you want strength? You want moral character? You want to have the ability to fight Satan's attacks? Step one, be in the Word daily. He says here, he says, meditate on it. And he says, meditate on it when? Sundays, right? That's when he says, meditate it only on Sunday for 1 hour a week. And honestly, it's only for like 20-something minutes while pastor talks. That's how long we're supposed to meditate on the Word, right? No, he says, meditate on it day and night. Meditate, think about, read it, understand it, ponder how it fits into your life today. How is this applying to Kelly Hewitt today on June 21st? And he says, I will be with you. The Lord will be with you. And so here's a picture of this for you. Some of you may not have heard last week, but 40 minutes before worship last week, I got a phone call telling me that I had a job offer in Madison. I had a call to serve another church in the Madison area called Middleton. This is a section that I personally, part of it has been sermon prep for this week, but part of this is where I've been saying, hey, God, I need a lot of answers, and this is what his answer is to me. This is where, if you want to understand, how do I apply it today? This is where I'm hearing it today, where I've been studying it, and he says, Kelly Hewitt, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Kelly, you're not going to make a bad decision. God's going to bless you either way. He's going to bless you if you stay and serve St. Marcus and live it, and he's going to bless you if you go and serve Middleton. Kelly, stop being afraid. Don't make decisions out of fear. Because guess what? It's really easy to make those decisions, isn't it? When you're feeling rejected or you're feeling powerless and you're feeling all those things, it's really easy to make a decision based on fear. And yet, what does God say? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. I'm with you. So where is he reading this? Where is he saying this into your life today? How is he trying to tell you and remind you and speak directly to you and the situation you're dealing with through these words? Maybe you're feeling rejected. Maybe you're feeling abandoned, and he's telling you, stop feeling that way. Stop feeling discouraged. Stop being afraid. And this is where Satan likes to whisper again. And Satan likes to say, but guess what? You haven't been in his Word. And guess what? I can see your calendar. I can see how there's no room for God during your week. Are you sure God hasn't abandoned you since you have abandoned him? See, all these things that you filled your life with, you keep saying, hey, God, I want you to be a part of me. But yet you keep telling God, hey, God, I want you only when I need you. I really don't want you when I'm hanging out with my girlfriend, because guess what? That kills the buzz. That kills the mood. Hey, God, I really don't want you around when I'm trying to make decisions for my job. I don't want you around when I'm filling my calendar with all the social activities. But God, I really want you when this happens. And so Satan says to us, he starts whispering, but you've rejected him. He's not going to be there. He doesn't care. You look at all the ways you rejected him. Look at all the ways you've abandoned him. And this is what God says to you. It doesn't matter what you've done. This is what he says. If there's a guy in the scriptures who has the right to speak to us as one who has turned his back on God, King David is the guy who grew up. He was like the epitome of like the church kid. He knew all the stories. He took on bears and lions. He took on Goliath because he said, guess what? I can kill Goliath. Why? Because I have a big God. All of the soldiers were afraid, right? This is your epitome of a kid who had faith. And guess what? He grew up into be a man who had faith, and he was then God's warrior who annihilated the Philistines and the Amorites, and he just killed all these people, and he was God's mighty warrior. And then guess what? He saw a pretty girl on a rooftop and said, thanks God, she's pretty. I want her. I don't care what you have to say. He's a guy who understands. He's a guy who God spoke law. You did wrong. And gospel, I love you too. And so this is what he has to say. This is David writing to you and I. This is a guy who understands this. A guy who understands what it is to be rejected. A guy who understands what it is to personally reject God in one part of his life. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. I want you to underline that. He is slow to what? Anger. And abounding in? I want you to circle those. You're not going to have fill in the blanks on this one because there's a lot of them. This is where I like to have you write and circle things. And hopefully you take this home and put it in your Bible at home if you haven't brought it here. Or if you're using YouVersion, these would be the words you'd highlight and put a note next to. God is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. This means if you've ticked him off, guess what? He's not going to turn around and say, hey, I'm going to zap you because you just made a bad decision. He says, guess what? I punished my son for that. I love you. He will not always accuse. He will not harbor his anger forever. This next one you really need to understand, underline. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. He doesn't look at you and go, hey, this is Kelly. This is what he's all done. I will give him X amount of love because this is what he's been. He says, no, I don't treat you like that. I treat you as my child, the one I love, no matter what you've done. I sent my son to die for you. I am going to treat you with love and compassion, but I may discipline you because sometimes you need that, but it's not in anger. It's out of love. I only want what's best for you. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions. Transgressions, that word that says, so far has he removed those sins that we knowingly have committed, that we knowingly have crossed the line. He says, so far have I removed those. I don't even think about them. I don't even know about them. As far as the east is from the west. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Today is Father's Day. And there are a few fathers sitting here. There are a few in this room who aren't dads, but serve as dads to other people's kids, nephews, nieces, some of your good friends' kids. You're kind of a second father figure. This is one of those sections where he gives dads some fantastic advice. This is what he says we are to be like as dads. Slow to anger, abounding in love, not holding sins against them, dealing with our children with love and compassion, not anger. Women, this is what you are to pray for the men who are around you who act as fathers, that as they father, this is the type of father they would be. One who loves like the Father loves, the Heavenly Father. One who has compassion like our Heavenly Father has compassion. And if you aren't praying for those men around you, how can you expect them to be that kind of father figure? And so he says, pray for them. And ultimately, I love this last line of Psalm 103 that we're covering here. For he knows how we are formed, and he remembers we are dust. You know, we always feel like we're abandoned. We feel like we're rejected. Do you remember the fact that he's the one who, the same psalm writer says, he knit you together in your mother's womb? He doesn't forget how he made you. He doesn't forget how he's formed you. He hasn't forgotten or abandoned you. He says, I am always with you. I am going to care for you. And guess what? I know you're going to mess up. I know you're a sinful human being who does that. But guess what? That's why my son died for you, because I love you. So you go to John chapter 10 and you hear Jesus say those very words to you. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. This is what Jesus says. These are Jesus' words to you. These are Jesus' words to you when you're struggling and feeling like you've been abandoned and rejection. He says, no one can snatch you from my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. In case you're thinking somehow you'd get out of my grasp, Jesus says, God who created everything in the world is holding you firmly in his hand. He's not going to let you go. He's not going to let you be harmed. He's not going to abandon you. And so we get to this last little section, and this is what you need to hear, because this is what we all need to hear. This is what it's all about, is when the baggage is overrunning us, we need to be reminded that we are a child of God. So I want you to say these statements with me. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. This is what he says to you. I have made you my child. I will not abandon you. No matter what your baggage is, I've got you. He says, I want you to say this with me. My Father values me. My Father values me. When the world may be saying you're worthless, when Satan has whispered that you don't fit in, when Satan is trying to distract you, guess what? Your Father values you. Your Heavenly Father places great value on you. My Father is in control when all feels out of control, when the world is feeling powerless, when you're feeling anxious, and there's so many things going on that you can't figure out what to pray for, because there's so many things, and you're feeling so out of control. Be reminded, my Father is in control when all feels out of control. Say that with me. My Father is in control when all feels out of control. And these last three go with today. My Father is always with me. My Father is always with me. When Satan starts whispering that you're rejected and alone, that even God has abandoned you, these are the words you need to come back to, and you need to say, no, my dad is with me. My Heavenly Father, the one who has defended his children from the beginning, is going to defend me. He will not let anyone snatch me out of his hand. I am not alone. My Father will not abandon me. He is with me always. I'm stating this multiple times if you haven't figured it out, because just like the scripture writers figure out, sometimes we're a little thick in the head and we don't always get the message. So I want you to say this one with me. My Father will not abandon me. He is with me always. And the last one. My Father loves me. My Father loves me. I had this all printed out and ready to go for today. And somebody saw it and said, wow, what a great Father's Day message. And I went, that Sunday? It's one of those pieces that as we've gone through this whole series, I honestly hadn't lined this up. It's a happy coincidence. But it's also the day that today, as we say thank you and I love you to fathers, one of the fathers I encourage you to say thank you and I love you to today especially is the one who says, I have made you my child. I have sent my son to die for you. I've created you. I have redeemed you. And I love you. Whatever your baggage is, drop it at my feet, and I'm going to carry it for you because I love you. That's what your Heavenly Father says to you today. I love you, and I've got your baggage. Don't carry it anymore. Amen.